listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and streaming across the globe at kpfk.org. Radio powered by the people.
Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett.
Everybody's talking about consciousness. Everybody wants that eternal kiss. Everyone's saying there's more than this. Everyone wants to follow their own bliss. Talking about one love, one blood. We sing
on the Expansion Zone, we examine life and our quest to understand who and what we are and of the vastness of human potentials. We explore the making of our world from quantum physics to parapsychology, health, sociology, and philosophy, along with practical living. You are reminded of the possibilities in creating personal change. So for an hour, we'll stimulate and expand the mind. Well, welcome once again to the Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett. I am your host, Sonia Barrett, and thank you once again for joining me on this Monday and wishing you the best that Monday has to offer as you lead into a new week, a new cycle, and hopefully you start the week off or the whole cycle off with hearing some great content again today that is really supportive and stirring. And of course, I'd like to thank Donna DeLore for our intro music, Be the Change. And you just can't hear that enough. So thank you so much, Donna, for allowing me to use that song. And I'm going to start out with a quote. Actually, today I'm using a quote from our guest today, who is Dr. Jacob Lieberman. And that quote is, "The power of light and color lies in a simple fact. Light and life are inseparable." And so I want to talk about that a bit more today. I was so delighted to see in his newsletter what he's getting ready to do to offer in terms of a workshop. So let's see. The topic, I'm going to say the topic is light is the emergence. Is that what I'm looking at? Light is the energetic foundation of the experience we call life, and colors are the vibrational equivalent of our life experiences. Obviously, this is from Dr. Lieberman, and again, I love what he's saying here, and so I want to elaborate on that because we don't talk about any of this enough. We are just not aware of so much. And so my guest, as you heard, is Dr. Jacob Lieberman, a pioneer in the field of light, vision, and consciousness, and the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living, and of course, a number of other books. Dr. Jacob Lieberman is a pioneer, as I said, in the field of light, vision, and consciousness, and the author of Luminous Life, How the Science of Light Unlocks the Art of Living, Light, Medicine of the Future, Take Off Your Glasses and See, and Wisdom from an Empty Mind. Originally trained as an optometrist and vision scientist, his life changed in 1976 after the miraculous healing of his own eyesight, leading him to a deeper understanding of light and the science of life. Having helped countless individuals recover their eyesight, he began to understand the words of Jonathan Swift, "Real vision is the ability to see the invisible." an internationally respected public speaker and recipient of the 2019 International Light Association's Francis MacMahon Award for Achievement in Light Medicine, Lieberman shares his scientific and spiritual discoveries about light as a divine spark that guides our lives' journey, entwining us with the unseen architect of all that is. All right. So welcome, Dr. Lieberman, back to the Expansion Zone. So good to have you here.
Sonia, it's always a pleasure to hang out with you. So I look forward to this intimate conversation to see where it takes us.
All right. I love that. So can we start with the quote? All right. So the quote is, of course, the power of light and color lies in a simple fact. Light and life are inseparable. Now, you say this, but the world doesn't really pay attention to this.
Right.
So maybe let's start there.
So let's look at this from multiple perspectives. For those individuals who have more of a religious foundation for their life, very early in the Bible, the opening words are, "Let there be light." Now, of course, you hear that and you think, oh, God turned the lights on. But then it says, on the fourth day, God created the sun, moon, and the stars. So what you get immediately is that there's a difference between the light of creation, which is something that none of us actually are able to see directly, and the light of perception, something that we experience. Because light is invisible, you cannot see light. So what we think is light is a perceptual phenomenon called brightness. So the first thing that I want to share is right early in the Bible, one of the first things is the mention of light. And then it talks about this creative force called God that we say is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time. And then there's this magical quote, God is light. Interesting. If you look at the spiritual writings going back thousands of years, what we call consciousness, which is the final set of eyes, the background of all that is continually spoken of as light. If you look at the area of quantum mechanics or quantum physics, which I should begin by saying is the most successful scientific theory that has ever been developed. More than 50% of all of our technology in the world is based on quantum mechanics. So it's a very accurate theory. In quantum mechanics, they state that everything at the foundational level is energy. And if you look at the most foundational level of energy, that energy is called light. So once again, physicists are saying that life emerges from a foundational energy called light. The Bible states that the creative force from where life arises, what we sometimes call God force, is also light. And consciousness writings for thousands of years say essentially the same thing. So what we're saying is the vibration, and you know, we often say today, oh, everything is just energy. Well, that foundational energy is the energy we know as light. So when I say light and life are inseparable, what I'm saying is that life magically or alchemically emerges from an energy that we call light, which interestingly enough is totally invisible. You can never see it. It seems to be everywhere at the same time. It seems to know everything that's going on everywhere at the same time. In other words, the behavior of this foundational energy called light, which everyone thinks they know what it is, but no one does, is described in the same way scientifically as the Bible speaks of as the creative force of God in the Bible. So what I'm saying is, whether you're looking at this from a religious, spiritual, or scientific perspective, all roads lead to the same place. Light is the foundation of life. Let's take it just a step further now. The way we experience or perceive light is one, as brightness, and two, as something we call color. Color are the different vibrations or different wavelengths of light that make up the full spectrum that we call light, the visible portion of the spectrum. What I discovered in the late 70s is that people had preferences for color. Oh, what's your favorite color? People would say, oh, I love blue. Well, how do you feel about red? I don't know, that makes me a little bit edgy. I started wondering what that was all about. And so I got some biofeedback equipment in 1978, and I would hook up my patients and I would have them look at colors or visualize colors or imagine colors. And I discovered something very fascinating. When they thought about or looked at a color that they felt at ease with, their body physiologically also went into a state of ease. But when they looked at a color that they recoiled from, for whatever reason, their physiology started transforming into what we call a classical stress reaction. And so what I realize is that stress, which is the major cause of disease, is basically when we have an allergic reaction to some aspect of life. Of course, when we think of an allergic reaction, we think of poison ivy or a food allergy. But most of our allergic reactions are with our former husbands or wives, our boyfriends, our kids, our bosses, people that for whatever reason trigger our emotional reactivity. Well, what I discovered for almost 50 years now is that the colors that someone is uncomfortable with resonates vibrationally with the experiences in life that are unresolved. Now, let me just take a moment to speak about that. When we think of unresolved experiences, we say, oh yeah, that was something that happened with my father when I was 4 years old, or I felt abandoned, or whatever it is. After working with in excess of 50,000 people, I've come to realize something. We will never know the causative factor of any of our reactive patterns in life, because what occurs in our life is just the present state of evolution of millions of years. We have no idea when something occurred 10,000 years ago that shifted something about the way that particular individual responded to life. And all of those patterns are passed on from generation to generation. So looking for the causative factor via what we call the mind is like trying to catch a wild dog in the Costco parking lot. It's just impossible. you'll just never get there. And so for me, I utilize color in a very systematic way, which is very, very gentle, to gradually allow someone to desensitize from those habitual triggers that transform our state of ease into a state of dis-ease or discomfort, what we call stress. And by using the colors that initiate those reactions, you could say in like homeopathic doses, it gradually allows the person to become comfortable with things that used to feel uncomfortable and not to override themselves with their ideas, but to learn through direct experience that all living things have a GPS inside. And that GPS immediately knows what feels safe and what doesn't. Now, most of us override that because we've never been led to believe that there's something inside that guides us. We have been told a different story, that everything moves according to the way I think. But you know, the word I think means I don't know. And I've always found it fascinating that we believe our beliefs. But the word belief means the opposite of truth. So what I'm sharing here is that I have found that color can gently be used to allow us to come into touch with that internal mechanism that guides our movements effortlessly. And when I say that, let me explain what I mean by the guidance mechanism. There's something that migrating birds utilize that move them thousands of miles and accurately brings them where they need to go. There's something that allows the whales of Alaska to migrate to Maui, the Hawaiian Islands, once a year, a journey of 10,000 miles. They have no maps, no GPS that we're aware of. They don't have iPhones. But their journey never varies more than 1 degree. So there are countless examples that I could give you where creatures in the wild have a mechanism that guides them without thought, without effort, without intention, without anything. And it is 100% accurate. It's not accurate once in a blue moon. It's on the money all the time because their life is dependent upon it. Human beings have the same internal guidance, but we have been conditioned for countless generations to trust something that we call mind. And we say that is the evolutionary leap that humans have. We are more evolved than the other creatures. But if you look at the havoc on the planet, it is primarily being created by human activity that bases what it does on what it thinks it needs to do, and then recognizes afterwards that its actions, which is all of our doing, continually creates one thing, side effects. The things that we don't see initially, but create all kinds of problems. So my work is not about opinion. It's about truth. It's about coming into touch with that place within ourselves that can allow us to live a luminous life, that can allow us to live more effortlessly with less worry, less concern. We're not going to eliminate all of it. We're feeling beings, and there are things that cause us to feel that we will never be able to eliminate fully. But what I have found is light can be utilized to illuminate our journey and provide us a map that allows us to see what the purpose of our life is all about.
Ah, I love it. There was no need to interrupt because everything you were saying was just absolutely in a flow that made sense. There were so many things you said there. Okay, there's two things I want to touch on. One, when you talked about the fact that we are the results in this moment of thousands of years of change and experiences. Sure. I remember some years back when I really started to look at the fact that when we come onto the planet, we only know what we know of what's available in that moment. That's the information. And we base life, or what life looks like, or what we think it is, really based solely on what we've come in and we're exposed to, not recognizing all of those changes that may have occurred over millions of years, and that we're the result of it at this moment. And so we get really hooked into what it is right now. And so we fight for the familiar. And to me, that was a real defining moment to realize, wow, we fight for the familiar, not knowing what we possibly were some time ago.
Let me respond to two things that you said. You began by saying, gee, there was no need to interrupt or to ask anything. Because it was, I don't remember the word you used, flow. But something like it was in the flow. And then you said, so I want to clarify something. I, Jacob, didn't say anything. The flow that you mentioned is not a personal characteristic that I have and someone else doesn't. Mm-hmm. What all of us experienced, me included, is what occurs when that guidance is going on. We do not know what is coming out of our mouth. In actuality, it is formulated by the unconscious. What is the unconscious? Not something we're supposed to make conscious. Something that is the invisible aspect of life that's moving everything. It's unconscious for a reason. We're not meant to mess with it, if you will. So that's the first thing. The second thing you said is really important. We come in with no awareness of what's happened before, at least consciously, and we become the result of all these different things. Let's call it conditioning, okay? Now, the only time that most of us are aware of the term conditioning is that when we were going through school, perhaps we learned about the experiments of Dr. Pavlov and his dogs. And what Dr. Pavlov did is he took a group of dogs and he would ring a bell. And as soon as he rang a bell, food would be brought out and the dogs would begin to salivate, as all living creatures do when food comes around. So they did that over a period of time. Every time the bell rang, the food would come out, the dogs would salivate. Then one day they rang the bell but didn't bring the food. The dogs continued to salivate. They had been conditioned to associate food with the ringing of a bell. Now, that's a startling thing that we call conditioning. Now, let's talk about Sonia Barrett or Jacob Lieberman. We come into this world, we emerge from our mothers, whoever brought us in, whether it be the obstetrical gynecologist or a nurse or a midwife, whoever brought us in, first thing they do is they make sure we're breathing. Most of the time, they don't spank us anymore to shock us into life, but they make sure we're breathing. And then as they give us over to our mothers, their eyes gaze down at the genital area. And immediately, you become one of two choices, male or female. Based on that, you're given a blue blanket or a pink blanket. Based on that, you're given a name. It might be John or it might be Mary. Coming into the family that you come into, you're assigned a religion. You didn't come in with it. You're assigned a name that's associated with a gender, and God forbid, you know, we say life is not black or white, but a series of shades. If you happen not to fit into one of those two slots, your life is screwed forever because you will never fit in. And that occurs whether based on religion, skin coloration, gender. Children in the future should be wrapped in rainbow blankets. Allow the essence of this humanity to emerge as what it is. Not assign it a name, a gender, and all these other things, because when you and I came into the world, neither one of us had any awareness of preference. Neither one of us had any sense of skin coloration. Neither one of us knew I'm a boy, I'm a girl, I'm something else. Neither one had came in with a religion. And so aside from the conditioning, because keep in mind the deepest spiritual question, if you look at all the spiritual paths, I all come back to one question, who am I? Now, of course, if I ask someone who they are, oh, my name is Sonia and I'm a broadcaster, or I'm an actress, or my name is John, and I'm a plumber, and I'm Jewish, or I'm Catholic, or I'm Muslim, or whatever. Is that who we are? And then you look at the other aspects of conditioning. An infant comes into this world. We care for it. We clothe it in a diaper. When the child needs to urinate or have a bowel movement, it just naturally does it. The body knows when it needs to release, whatever that is. It also knows when it needs to eat. So the child makes a sound to arouse someone in the space and let them know, I need something. I either need food, sustenance, or I need to be held. Something guides all of those movements. But you know that when a child gets to be a certain stage, the culture says, oh, they should be toilet trained now. So the moment mom or dad sees that the child is about to have a bowel movement, we say, hold on, hold on, hold on. We pick it up. We quickly rush over to the bathroom. We put it on the commode and we let it know that that's the moment that they can go. And so the child has to hold on to something that's meant to be released. And then as the child gets older, the parents are going to take a drive on a Sunday and they say, okay, go to the bathroom because once we get started, we're not going to stop. So now you're told to make something happen that isn't ready to happen. Now think about that. It's a funny sort of an example. But here you're conditioned to force something to occur that isn't ready to occur, or to hold something from occurring that is ready to occur. Now look at our entire life. It's really one of those two things. We're either stop the expression that wants to come forth, whatever that is, or we're always doing. What is the doing about? The trying to make something happen that isn't ready to happen yet. It hasn't occurred yet. So the point you make is really at the heart of everything. We have no idea who we are, because the mind, which is filled with ideas or beliefs that are continually changing, they are the opposite of truth, cannot see the truth. It only sees one side or the other.
Now, Jacob?
Yeah.
Right here, we'll need to take just a quick break.
Perfect.
And then
perfect.
Pick that up. All right. So please stay tuned, and we will be right back after this brief break.
The Bradcast.
Experts have said that the case has little chance of success at the Supreme Court, much like the numerous other GOP election lawsuits that are pending in battleground states. But then again, those experts, they are just guessing. They are hoping.
With your host, Brad Friedman, and producer, Desi Doyen.
There's enough going on right now. There are enough X factors still remaining that's one I'd rather not contemplate.
Correct. You are, as usual, correct, Desi Doyen.
Tune in to the Bradcast every Monday at 3 p.m. right here on KPFK.
And we are back. We're, of course, coming to you from KPFK 90.7 FM in Southern California and streaming live at kpfk.org. And, of course, you're listening to The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett. That's me. And my guest, Dr. Jacob Lieberman. And we are really hitting on, I think, as Dr. Lieberman just said, a point that is so very important to this whole equation, because it comes down to the who am I? That was big for me. I started to realize, how do I know I like any of what I think I like? That to me was also a huge defining moment, because it relaxed me in a different way. It was a little scary at first, because now it was like this blank canvas. And then coming to that, to relaxing into that, going, okay, so everything that I think that I am has been orchestrated or been told to me. That became very, very significant. And just so much that can happen, I think, with a person's life when you are able to come to that realization and relax into it. And it's not tense up about it, but you relax. And then that happens. Then you begin to, what is the word? Interact, allow, whatever that word is.
The word is that you disappear as an individual. The drop falls into the ocean and you become an expression of life. Just to add one more thing to what I was sharing. Most of our actions are not in the moment. They're ahead or they're behind. They're pushing or they're pulling. As I mentioned, the example of toilet training. Why is that significant? In life, timing is everything. I mean everything. Everything in this universe, everything in your physiology is inseparably connected. We are connected to the changes of light going on around the clock, whether it be sunlight, starlight, moonlight, makes no difference. Our physiology is inseparable from that, not just when you sleep and when you wake up, but when your hormones release, your sugar levels, your heart rate, everything that goes on physiologically is light dependent, what we call a circadian rhythm. Why is that important? Because health is about our alignment with Mother Nature. It's about becoming one with the cosmos. I'm not just talking about in a spiritual sense. I'm talking about in every sense, because it all fits together. When that timing is inseparable, there's no more pushing or pulling. There are no more side effects created, because there's no more action. You see, as a physician, one of the first things that I learned is about the working of the physiology of the body. One of the most astounding things that I discovered is that there's nothing within our physiology that is designed to initiate action. In other words, no part of us is designed to do. Our entire being is responding, continually responding, just like everything else in life. The plant, the moment the sun begins to shine, the plant turns itself towards the light and stretches itself toward the light, merging with the light. And its entire biology is that interaction, that relationship with the light of day, which is the essence of life. And so we're designed to respond, not react, not initiate. And a response is involuntary. It's a reflex. It's a reflex.
So the truth now, right in that, what you just said, it kind of dovetails into one of the video clips that I had watched. And it's the true meaning of presence, which I thought, I love what you were talking about with the kids, because, you know, we all have experienced that. But it really describes what you have just said,
right?
With presence. And I find that even a couple of days ago, and this is more, I think, has to do with sound. I mean, you know, color, light, sound, they're all the same thing, you know. But so I was hiking, I'm doing my walk, and then I was thinking, you know, about the dialogue that happens in the mind, which you hear your own voice. Of course, you know, there's a reason for why you hear your own voice. Your thoughts are heard in your voice. And I thought, okay, well, how do I stop that? Just in the moment. I mean, I understand it, but in that moment, I thought, okay, what if I don't want to hear anything? What if I just want to be? And in that moment, I started to just hear the birds, the trees, anything that was passing by, whether it was a plane. And it was a very different feeling, because in that moment, I just allowed myself to experience that. But what was also interesting is it's like the sounds were really coming from me. Does that make sense? It turns out that it was, and I thought, wow. And then I did it in the car. The music, it was a different feeling. Sure, I'd hear the music, but this time, every beat I felt just in me, in different parts of the body, as if the music was playing through me.
So you hit on several really, really important things. One is that the world isn't happening out there. It's happening in here. What we're experiencing is our unique interpretation of different vibrational qualities, different frequencies of light, which, if you move them in one direction or the other in the electromagnetic spectrum, then you experience them as sound or as smells or as touch. So that's one thing that's really important. The other thing is you became aware of the chatter, and then something inside says, well, how do I stop that? Of course, the thing that said, how do I stop that? And the thing that was in the chatter was the same thing. And so the mind is like a hall of mirrors. The mind is an archive of all the conditioning that has occurred throughout humanity's existence that we are experiencing in the current state. All the conditioning and all the compensations to that conditioning, that internal dialogue. And so everyone wants to change their mind. But you can't, because the part that wants to change the mind is the mind. So
is a chicken or the egg?
Right. But you said, but there's something really significant here. Every human being listening today is aware of the process of thinking, which is a fancy word for worrying. Mm-hmm. They're always aware when that chatter is going on. Of course, they say, I had a thought. That's not true. We became aware of something emerging. The mind wants to have ownership. So it says, it's mine. I thought of it. No, we just become aware of it. It occurs spontaneously out of nothingness. So we are not the thinker of the thoughts. We are merely that which is aware of the thoughts. So now let's go to the most important piece. Everyone knows when the mind is chattering. How do we know that? The reason we know that is because our true essence, the answer to the question, who am I, is this infinite field of awareness. It's not an individual. It doesn't have a voice. It doesn't have opinions. It doesn't have desires. It's just an infinite field of eyes that is aware of everything, everywhere, all of the time. And that is aware of what's happening in the external world, what's happening within the body, and what's happening in this thing we call mind. So how do we get the mind to quiet? We begin to notice that we are not the mind, that we are the observer of the mind. Once we begin to realize that we are the observer, not the activity, our sense of identity changes. And when that occurs, we begin to notice less and less and less and less chatter. As an example, many listeners today have a pet, like a dog. And when they're sitting at the dinner table about to eat, very often their little dog will come up and start to make little sounds because it wants to have something to eat as well. So if you grab a little something from your plate and you give it to them, they eat it, they get very quiet, and then as soon as they're finished, they start again. And there's no end in sight. The more you feed them, the more they want. That's a perfect way, the way the mind works. Now, what if you acknowledge the dog, you pet it on the head, but you continue to remain in what's happening in front of you, just attending to your own eating? What happens within a couple minutes is the dog either just lays down and gets quiet, or it goes away. That is exactly what happens with the mind when you discover that you are not the mind, that the mind is just some function within the brain that has an archive of memory forever and ever and ever. When you begin to realize that we are just an observer, all of a sudden, everything changes. And you begin to realize that the awakening is not about changing the mind. It's about realizing that you are not the mind and have never been the mind. When that occurs, you experience an unconditional acceptance. What does that mean? You realize that your body is just responding as it responds continually, and presence includes everything, even the moments when you don't think you're present.
I love it. Now, before we do run out of time, we need to talk about your upcoming masterclass, if you would, please.
The class is October 22nd. It's a 3-hour online class that includes a color therapy kit that I have personally developed that has 13 different pairs of glasses and a manual that shows you exactly how to use it to gradually desensitize yourself from a lot of the triggers in your life. Why is that important? Because when we no longer get triggered, or are triggered significantly less, the mind chatter that normally and habitually goes along with that also becomes less. All of a sudden, we become much freer. And we realize that what's essential in life is just what we're doing right now, just having an intimate conversation among friends, where everybody is the same height. There's no difference between who asks the question in one moment and who responds, and then that switches around. And I guess what I'm sharing with you, Sonia, is the most touching moments of my life are little simple things, you know, that maybe someone who's bringing me a cup of coffee at a place I enjoy having breakfast, or, you know, I just got back from Europe a couple days ago. I met people who were serving us at restaurants in several different countries. I was so touched by some of them. I can't tell you how many waiters or waitresses I felt inspired to hug because they were so there. They were so sweet. That seeing the sweetness in each other is what life is all about. All this other stuff, trying to become enlightened, trying to do this, trying to make more money. Do what you love. Love what you do. The world will come to you. Mm-hmm. Our life is really about those sweet moments that you experienced when you took a walk and you heard the birds within yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot that could be said on that in terms of just my own experience. It was a very freeing experience. And every time you think that you've just had, wow, just incredible, you know, moments, then there's just an endless incredible moments. And that was definitely one of them. And especially when I started listening to music in the car, I heard the music and experienced it in such a completely different way. And I thought, whoa, you know, but at the same time, my own voice was actually less, because I was just being the sound, whatever that was, I was just being that. And so it was very, very different. Website, please, because we could go on talking about a lot of things.
People can visit the site, which is jacoblieberman.org, O-R-G. Our site is not about selling stuff. It's not a marketing site. I have no interest in that. My life's work is the same as yours. We share something that we have found that's valuable to help each other, because we're all in the same boat. And thank God we're all in the same boat.
What a boat it is. But it's definitely fascinating unraveling. I will say, I will use that word, yeah, from all the conditioning. I think it's fascinating. I don't find it upsetting. My perception changed some years back where I'm not upset. I'm more fascinated by each new awareness and, you know, just navigating that. But that completely changes. That, anyway, a whole other show on that. I also want to ask you very quickly, when you talk about colors, the thing that I've noticed with myself over the years, and I've often kind of wondered, I'm kind of a little different. I never had like a favorite color. I never had a favorite color. Colors for me were based on the moment.
Right.
And so I don't have any favorite color. It's like whatever that is right now. Now I may have a period of time where I'm wearing a certain color and then that shifts and then I'm wearing, you know, but I don't have a favorite color.
You know, my version of that, which I've said so many times in my life, is I never ate a food that I didn't like. That's the truth. Since I was a little boy, It just doesn't make any difference. It's all sustenance. It's all fulfilling and nourishing me. Why I think that's significant, that's the reason you're doing what you're doing and I'm doing what I'm doing. Because once we begin to allow in the full spectrum of light, which contains all those different shades, then we start living a full spectrum life. And your perception of the world is not better or worse or even different. It's just a reflection of one's own self. And those of us that were fortunate enough to be brought into this world in places that were multicultural have a much greater opportunity to realize that we all come from good stock and we all come from the same stock.
I love it. Well, I guess we will have to leave it there. We're actually, in the game, out of time. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I thank you so much, Jacob. It's always such a pleasure chatting with you. And, you know, we could just go on and on because we both light up with fascination about all of this. It's just intriguing to me. So thank you so much. And I look forward to having you back. Thanks to the listening audience. And of course, thanks to our engineers. And of course, to find out more about this show and check out the archive, do visit theexpansionzone.com for the replay of this show, which is video taped as well. For those who are listening, you can watch the video of us chatting. And to find out more about me, do visit therealsoniabarrett.com. And that's it. As always, I like to remind you to live life to its fullest and question everything. Until next time, see you then.
Everybody wants that eternal kiss.
Everyone's saying there's more than this.
Everyone wants to follow their own bliss. Talking about one love.
Comes from CAP UCLA presenting Alfredo Rodriguez and Pedrito Martinez on Friday, February 13th at the Nimoy. The Grammy-nominated artists deliver a night of explosive rhythms and world-class musicianship. What begins as a duo of piano, percussion, and voice quickly transforms into a high-octane performance. More information and tickets at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
You know, maybe $75 is the right amount for you to give to KPFK. That $75 comes out to exactly 21 cents a day, and that pays for a lot of programming on KPFK. Hours of intelligent news every day on Democracy Now! And local news, local politics and culture from Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. Entertaining, thoughtful shows like The Global Village, The Car Show, and Pacifica Performance Showcase. Your support makes them all possible, which is why KPFK needs your contribution right now. Tom Hartman here, reminding you that your contribution of $75 helps pay for programs that make KPFK a unique and essential part of life in Southern California. Give online at kpfk.org or call right now 818-985-2711. 818-985-2711. Thank you.
Hi, this is Robbie Krieger from The Doors, and you are listening to Fiercely Independent KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and for the world at